This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
It's been very interesting. It feels like it's a case that got filled up with lie after lie or mistruth or redirect this way or that way after the fact. And then Because of that, and because of egos, more lies had to be told. And then you start getting conspiracy-esque type theories in here. And then, and rightfully so, when it seems like something is being covered up. I'm just wondering how much of this case is something where it does go down some weird, dark, Odinistic path, like we saw in the defense document. Or is this all just really a cluster of lies that have been told that look really bad, because they are, but then the prosecution against Richard Allen, they're just so dug in, the local authorities are so dug in, they don't want the FBI's help on any of this. They dismissed a lot of really possible leads, including Ron Logan, who's dead, and it's just, are they so dug in and can't be wrong, and that's why this is going so far astray, because somebody's ego can't be damaged?
I can't discount it, because I'm sitting here talking to my wife, Allison, who's my law partner and who's also my co-host on the docket, which we're covering Delphi pretty extensively on the docket. Mm-hmm. And I called her when these, because I was dropping my youngest off at travel softball for practice. And I'm like, I just read this thing prior to getting into the car. And I'm like, what is McClellan doing? Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I'm like, he's either one of two things, and McClelland is the prosecutor on the case.
Yep.
Who's never tried a murder case, by the way.
That'll work out well.
I mean, it's a small county, man.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, yeah. And at this point, it goes into your question in terms of what's going on with him. I think it's less ego. I think it's more inexperience. I think it's being in over his skis. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, he's so dug in now. How do you back out of this thing? I mean, we saw with Suzanne Morphew when they arrested her husband originally and then said, you know what? We're going to have to dismiss those charges because we don't think we have enough evidence at this point. So they took a step back. Like, it's one of those cases. And in that case, to me, it seems much more likely that he is the culprit. But again, that problem of not enough evidence exists, mm-hmm. which is very frustrating for law enforcement, because you have two battling sides right there, where you got law enforcement that's trying to get a case solved, and you got a prosecutor always, and this is in any state, any prosecutor's office, when they're dealing with their cops from all their agencies, the prosecutor saying, we don't have enough. I'm not going to be able to get a conviction on this. So you've got that going on, and only one of two things could have happened with McClelland. And it was either he didn't review the discovery fully before tendering it. And he's got a very small office there in Carroll County.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is not a huge prosecutor's office. He doesn't have 10 young prosecutors working underneath him that he can pour all the discovery on, say, review every single page of this. A lot of it's falling on him mm-hmm. individually. So it's either he completely, and he's going to have to come up with an answer of either that. I didn't review all that discovery when I tendered it. So when I gave my answer, when I doubled up and basically just dug in on my position when I filed my subpoena, because after the memo came out on September 25th, mm-hmm. the state then filed a subpoena for mental records of Richard Allen from the prison. And attached to that, he just stuck the whole PCA in there again. So instead of backtracking a little bit, he dug in. Mm-hmm. He doubled up on it and said, here you go. I'm still saying this is our theory. And filed it. So knowing that this stuff is out there,
mm-hmm.
and then we get this thing that they're clearly not being truthful about this professor. And I, of course, tried to email that guy immediately as soon as I got his name.
Sure.
I'm like, I want to talk to you because I want to get the straight dope from you, because mm-hmm. I'm done getting it filtered through law enforcement. I want to know what you said, and I want to know what your real feelings about it are.
Yeah,
and I haven't heard from him yet, but. Or the other is that he lied flat out, and that he's like he did one of the two things. It was either incredibly sloppy work or he's being deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it's very problematic. And it leaves us in a position where, again, when the only thing that matters is getting justice for these two little girls, is that I just don't feel comfortable with who they have in there right now. I do not feel confident at all. I mean, there's cases where I feel confident. I mean, yes, there's a ton of people out there that are in the Koberger is innocent camp. I read that PCA and I'm not in that camp. I think that leans guilty. Yes, are there a bunch of issues with that PCA? Of course, there always are. It's like people don't understand. This is not something that is particular to that case or this case. Every PCA has warts.
Yep.
Every police investigation has warts. There is no such thing as a perfect police investigation. We're dealing with human beings. Human beings make mistakes. It's okay. But when you make a mistake, you have to own it instead of letting, that's where your ego comment comes in. I think that's more with law enforcement than it is the prosecutor's office.
Sure.
I think that their refusal to say, okay, like they're not willing to take that beating that they would be taking from everybody if it turned out that they had to dismiss the charges against Allen because law enforcement botched this.
Yeah.
Those are the ones with the ego to me that seem to be not willing to do what they need to do in order to try to secure justice for the girl. So I don't know, man, it's a fascinating case and tragic case. And it's a infuriating case.
With the Frank's motion back on September 18th to disavow or disallow the evidence of the gun found in Allen's house, Where is that going as of right now? I know there hasn't been the Franks hearing yet. Is there one that's going to take place down the road? Is that still up in the air?
Yeah, that's still up in the air. So basically, it's kind of a two-step process. So the defense files their memo, their motion and their memo, and then the state responded with their 8-page response, which just basically covered the law and dug into their position, which is what I expected. It didn't surprise me. But then, so at this point, and I asked Barbara McDonald the same question, if she knew whether or not, if there's going to be hearing as to whether or not they're going to get a Franks hearing.
Yeah.
Because it's either, like Judge Gull is going to either decide on the pleadings, that I think that there's enough there that it requires a hearing. So she's going to make that preliminary finding that there is enough, the defense has shown enough that there was either intentional or reckless truths that were not told or just flat out lies, on top of the fact that there clearly were omissions, and she's going to have to make that decision. Or I think she should be having a hearing if she's inclined to deny a Franks hearing. It's going to be stunning to me. I think that this has to be aired out, and it has to be aired out in the form of a hearing. So right now there's nothing set. It's a little puzzling to me. I don't know exactly what she's waiting for with this trial date looming. But there is no way that this thing is going January 8th. There's no way. There's still way too much motion work. I mean, she hasn't even set a motion deadline. Like, this is the last date that you can file motions because we have a trial date set. Mm-hmm. And I'm just telling you, 3 months is the blink of an eye in the practice of law when you're preparing for a case like this. It just is. I mean, everybody wants this thing to go to trial. I want it to be litigated properly. I want all the motions that need to be filed and litigated. I want them to continue to investigate to make sure that they have the right guy, because if what they have evidentiary, like of what we know of right now, it's not enough. It's not enough. Like, I am in no way convinced. I don't care that he gave a voluntary statement putting himself there, and he's wearing very common clothes to the area. Like, it's just, it's, that is not convincing to me. And the unspent casing is junk science, and don't take my word for it.
Yeah.
Dig as hard as you want and find a case, do a little research, not an article.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find a case in the United States. And I'm talking to the listeners now out there. Now, you try to find a case in the US where somebody's been convicted on an unspent casing getting ejected and them matching it to a weapon, and you'll be looking forever, because it doesn't exist.
In a case where the victims were not shot.
Correct.
Yep.
So right now, nothing's set as far as a hearing, and we're just waiting.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.